believe God. No matter what's going on in our lives, you know, there's so many things in my life that I've been so certain of, and I thought, hey, this is never going to change, and this is never going to be any different than what it is right now, and those things have changed in my life, and, you know, just this week, there's some things that, hey, I was so sure of, but then even as I said, and I went from person to person, I realized not everybody was hearing Yanny. Some people were hearing Laurel. What in the world? How in the world can my ear, some of you are looking at me going, preacher, we don't have a clue what you're talking about, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I sat and I listened to Yanny and Laurel for hours and hours trying to figure out, no, I didn't really. That's not what I did at work this week. I done more than that. But even as you're sitting there and you're listening to that, and you know, I listen to it and I hear Yanny, Yanny. And Autumn's going, Laurel, Laurel. I hear Laurel. I said, no, honey, it's saying Yanny. It's not saying Laurel. Yo, it's saying Laurel. And we can get in a, hey, but I'm glad God never changes. I'm so sure about what God's promised me in His Word that there is no doubt in my mind. And I don't care if my wife disagrees with me. I don't care if you disagree with me. If me and God know what God's Word says, nobody's going to change my mind about what God's Word says. I'm glad that we can believe God. The grace of God is going to be good enough to take us all the way. We don't have to do it within ourselves. It is not because of our works. It is because of the grace and the mercy and the love of God that this morning I stand in front of you knowing that there's things in my life that shouldn't be there, that there's times that I've messed up, that there's times that sin has come into my life, and yet I know that in God's eyes He sees me as one of His children, one that has been forgiven of their sins and their trespasses, and one day I'll stand before God, and the Bible tells me that He's going to open a book, and when He opens the book, He's going to look for my name, and I'm just sure as sure can be that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning because of the grace of God. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me this morning. I'm going to try not to preach two different messages. Y'all just pray for me that God will put me exactly where I need to be. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all Your many blessings, God. I just thank You for the excitement that I feel by being in Your house this morning, for Your presence that's here. God, I pray to Your Father, Lord, as we've come together, God, that I know that probably every family, every heart has needs, God. And I pray to Your Father that as we've come into Your presence this morning, God, that we've come here and we've come to worship in Your name, but God, we also need You to speak to our hearts, God, and if there's things in our lives that need changing, God, I pray that You'll help us to get those changed, God. God, I want to thank You for the amazing grace of God. I want to thank You for Your mercy. God, I know, dear Father, that in my life this week that there's been times that I have failed You, that I've come short of Your glory. There's been times that I should have done things that I didn't, and God, there's been things that I've done that I shouldn't, and God, I want to ask You to forgive me. And God, I pray, dear Father, as we're here as Your children this morning, that God, that You'll help us to understand and to realize that You didn't save us to be perfect, God, but You saved us to have a relationship with You, that when we stray, that You can squeeze our hearts, and God, that we can get back in fellowship with You, and that we can be exactly what You'd have us to be. God, I thank You and praise You for being allowed to be one of Your children this morning. God, I pray that You'll just bless the rest of this service today, God. God, I pray that Your Spirit will touch hearts, that You'll change lives. I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's never been saved, God, I pray that today will be that day. And these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. This morning, before we get started, I want us all to come to an admitting place and come to a place in our lives that we understand that if you are here this morning and you don't feel like you're in the will of God or you feel like something has come in your life, that you're not alone. So just really quick, this is not going to take but just a second. If you're here this morning and you feel like, and some of you are already looking at me like, preacher, what did you do this week? I ain't done nothing just out of the ordinary bad. I promise you that. But I want to tell you that sin and sin's pressure and Satan's temptation is strong on all of our lives, isn't it? So if you're here this morning and maybe this week you know, or if you don't know, I'll help you with it here in just a minute with some scripture. But that something has come in your life that shouldn't be there, or that there's something that you should have done for the glory of God. The Bible tells us, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But if you know that this week, somehow or the other, that you have sinned, will you please just stand with me? Now, I wouldn't normally say this, but everybody look around, look at everybody else. You can be seated. Thank you. I think it's important sometimes that we come to the place to where we're not looking at everybody else and thinking that everybody else is living so holy and so righteous and we're the only ones that have made mistakes and we're the only ones that sin has come into our life, or we're maybe not be the only one that absolutely just went against God's will in our life. I think it's important as we come together this morning, you know, the only way to solve a problem is to realize that you have a problem. The only way to address something that's wrong in your life is to say, God, I know that there's something wrong in my life. The only way to ever make amends with your relationship with God is to realize that there has been a failure in your relationship with God, and it's not God's fault. Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 11. The Bible says, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Jesus is on trial here. They have brought him in front of Pilate, and they are bringing false accusations. They are lying about Jesus. They are wanting to crucify Jesus because they are lying against him. Verse number 14. And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Now every year at the feast of the Passover, there was a prisoner released. They were pardoned. They were forgiven. And I don't know how many prisoners there is here at this point in time, but we know that they have Jesus. We know that there is two thieves because they're going to hang them on the cross beside of Jesus. So we know there's at least three prisoners at this time. But verse number 16, the Bible says, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? So Pilate has the opportunity here. He says, I'm going to release somebody. Now I'm going to give you the two that I'm going to have you choose between. I'm going to have you choose between Jesus, and I'm going to have you choose between him and Barabbas. And if you get in the Word and study just a little bit about Barabbas, there's not a whole lot about there, but the Bible tells us that he was a robber and that he was also a murderer. So now you have Jesus, who has fed 5,000, who has healed the lame, who has taken care of the sick, who has brought dead to life again. And then you have Barabbas, who the Bible tells us is a murderer and a robber. And I know Pilate is saying there's no way that they're going to choose Barabbas over Jesus. Verse number 18, for we knew for the envy they had delivered him. Pilate said, I know that for envy they brought Jesus before me. So there's no way they're going to set Barabbas free. When he was set down at the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man? Even Pilate's wife said, don't do anything bad to Jesus. She says, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. There was little people out in the crowd, and they were working the crowd, and they were saying, come on, guys, we got to ask for Barabbas to be released. We have to crucify Jesus. And they began to continue to tell the lies about Jesus and to try to convince the people that we need Barabbas released so that we can crucify this evil man, Jesus, this evil man, Jesus. And the crowd began to agree with the religious leaders. They began to look and say, yes, we're going to ask for Barabbas. Verse number 21, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain ye shall that I release unto you. They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto him, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. I put before you a murderer, and I put before you Jesus. Which one do you want released? The crowd answered Barabbas. And he said, okay, then, what shall I do with Jesus? And the crowd said, let's crucify him. Let's put him on the cross. And he says, but why? What evil hath he done? Verse number 24, the Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, that he was not going to win over the crowd, but rather that tumult, I can't say that word, y'all. Y'all see it there in your Bible, was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Pilate said, I'm innocent. This is on y'all. Verse number 25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. Now, right after Pilate says, I'm going to wash my hands of this, that this blood is going to be on y'all. The Bible tells us that he took Jesus and that he scourged him. And you know, it's so easy to say that word, but when you look and you understand what that word means and what that means that they did unto Jesus, they took him and they whipped him and they beat him and they just continued to do so. They took what we can go back and study and find out was a whip called the cat of nine tails that had pieces of glass and metal and bone in it. And they took Jesus, this evil man Jesus that has now been sentenced to be crucified over somebody that we would say was a loser, someone that we would say deserved to be crucified. They have taken Jesus and they have beat him with this cat of nine tails, and they have ripped his flesh open, and now they have beat him till he's almost unrecognizable. They have plucked his beard, they have spit upon him, and they say, "Well, preacher, you might be saying, well, preacher, you talked about it to us last week about this situation and what Jesus did there for us, but I want you to know that there's power in the cross of Christ. There is power in what Jesus Christ did for us, and the fact that he was willing to lay down his life for you and I over even Barabbas, that they took him and they opened up his flesh and they beat him. But if you'll go back and you look, even though that Pilate said, I'm going to wash my hands of this, the Bible says that he went and he scourged Jesus. That he was the one that beat Jesus. That he was the one that ripped his flesh open. That he was the one that allowed them to pluck his beard and to spit upon him. That Pilate was the one that allowed this to happen. Verse number 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him. They took the robe from him, put on his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify. This beating that Jesus just took, this whipping that Jesus just took, this spitting, this unbelievable pain and punishment that he just went through was the beginning of the crucifixion. They hadn't even put him on the cross yet. And then they take Jesus and they lay him on a cross and they put nails through his hands and they put nails through his feet and they hang him on the cross, and there his weight hung from the nails that was in his arms and in his feet. They put the crown of thorns on him, and they literally took every drop of blood that Jesus Christ had, and he was willing to do this for you and I. But you know, when you go back and you look at what Pilate said, Pilate goes back in verse number 24, and Pilate says, I'm going to wash my hands of this. I'm not guilty of this innocent blood. This blood is now going to be on you. I can't believe that Pilate would even say that. This man had the authority to turn Jesus loose. This man had the ability to say, there's no way that I'm going to crucify Jesus. This man had the authority of saying, Barabbas, you're going to be crucified. He had the authority to say, we are not going to do this to this innocent man, to this just man. But yet Pilate, he just says, I'm going to wash my hands of it. I'm not responsible. I'm not going to have any part of it. I'm going to stand back and y'all can do as you will. Even though that Pilate knew that Jesus was a just man, that he had been delivered to him because of envy and because of jealousy, that Jesus didn't deserve to die at all, much less by this beating and this crucifixion that they killed him by. That he knew what they were going to do to him, that they were going to punish him and they were going to make him suffer. Even though he knew all of that was going to happen, his only response was, I'm going to wash my hands of it. That was his response. I can't believe that he would symbolically say that this is no longer on me, but now it is on you. But you know what? I believe today that we have a lot of people, maybe some even in our presence this morning, that you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That you believe that he came to this earth and that he lived a perfect life. That you believe that he gave his life on an old rugged cross for you. That you believe that he was a just man. That you believe that he performed all of the miracles that he did. That you believe that he has the ability to forgive you of your sins and to give you a pardon. That you believe that he is willing to forgive you of everything that you've ever done wrong, to wash your sins away. You believe that, but yet you step back and say, I just don't have anything to do with it. I haven't accepted Christ, but I'm not turning Christ away. I still go to church. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to give to people. I'm going to live a good moral life. I'm a good person. I believe that we have people all around us, and maybe even some in our congregation this morning, that would say, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believe all of these things that you preach every Sunday morning. I believe that He gave His life on a cross. And you know what? I believe personally this morning that you want to be close to Christ, or you wouldn't give up your Sunday morning to be in the house of God. But I believe also that there may be some here this morning that you want to believe it, you want to be a little part of it, that you want to skirt the outskirts of it, but you kind of want to wash your hands of it and just say, I'm kind of a part and I'm kind of here, but I'm not going to go all in for Jesus Christ. I believe that we have some, maybe even times in my life, that I'm all in for Christ, and then there's times when I've washed my hands and I've stepped back. But I want to tell you this morning that if you're here and you may know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, you may know that He gave His life on a cross for you, you may know that one day He's coming back for His church, that He's coming back for the ones who have accepted Him by the grace of God and through the blood of Jesus Christ, you may know all of that. But if you have washed your hands and you have stepped back and you have never accepted Jesus Christ, I want to tell you a blunt truth this morning. It's not pretty, and there's no way that I can put it that it's pretty, but if you have not asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, then the Bible tells me that one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, that when you die and you stand before Him in judgment, it don't matter how good you've been, it don't matter how much money you've give to your neighbor that needed some help, it don't matter how much money you've given to your church, it don't matter if you build the gym that we're wanting to build all by yourself and we don't do anything, it doesn't matter about any of that. The only thing that's going to matter is whether or not you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart. And one day if you stand before Jesus and you've not done that, the only thing that you're going to hear is, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I'm trying to give you some truth this morning. As you stand here this morning, have you washed your hands and just said, I know all of this about God. I believe in God. Hey, I can even walk outside and I can see the birds and I can see all the beautiful flowers, and I know that there's a God that created all that, and I believe that. But I want to tell you something this morning. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not in the right relationship with Jesus this morning. You've washed your hands. You've stepped back. Just as Pilate had the power to say, we're not going to crucify Jesus. I want to tell you something this morning, because I know the Spirit of God is here, because I have felt Him in my heart as I've been here this morning, because I know that you're here for a purpose. You're not here because of coincidence. You're not here because of an accident, but you are here by the divine will of God, and God knows exactly where you are, and God is speaking to you exactly where you are. I want to tell you that just as Pilate had the power to say, we're not going to crucify Jesus, but he didn't. He stepped back and washed his hands, that this morning you have the power to make your relationship right with Jesus Christ. He gave you that power by giving His life on an old rugged cross. He gave you that power by saying, I'm going to bleed every drop of blood I have. I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to make an atonement for your sin. You have the power this morning to leave here a child of God. But it's all in your power. Choir, come on. I'm not going to preach long this morning. You have the power. Just as Pilate had the power to say, we're not going to crucify Jesus, you have the power to have your life changed today. How in the world could Pilate wash his hands? How in the world could he say, I don't have anything to do with this? But still yet today, you may come to this church every Sunday. You may be a faithful person. Hey, I want to go back and eat. I'll even say this. You might be a member of this church, but that doesn't make you right with God. You may give more money to this church than I do. That wouldn't take a whole lot, but you may give more than I do. You may give more than anybody else here, but that doesn't make you right with God. You may tell people, you may invite more people to come to fellowship than I do. You may read your Bible more than I do. You may pray more than I do. But if you have never got down on your knees and said, God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I know that I need help. And God, I know that there's nothing that I can do with this sin on my own. It is only through and by the blood of Jesus Christ that I can make an atonement for my sin. If you have never done that, then you're still not saved and you're still not in the right relationship with God this morning. See, what I think is amazing is this, is Christ knew that day that they was going to call for Barabbas. Christ knew, because I want to read you something way back from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter number 50, verse number 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. You know that beating we were talking about earlier? It was all for you. It was all for me. Because he knew that I was going to have weeks when I couldn't live right, and when I couldn't do right, and when sin was going to come into my life. Because of that, Jesus Christ, hey, we all admitted this morning that sin comes into our life. We've all admitted that we don't live perfect. So don't get on your holy high horse right now and say, well, I don't need Jesus. Because I want to tell you what, I need Jesus every single day. That I need forgiveness every single day. That I need to be pardoned every single day. And why he chose to love somebody like me, I will never understand. But I'm so glad that the grace hadn't run out. That the mercy hadn't run out. I'm so glad that there's been times in my Christian life when I was living right and doing right. And then there's been times when I wouldn't. But God never done away with me. He was always there for me to run back to and say, God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me for what I've done. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Help me to get back in a relationship with you. God's always been there.
Amen.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, for our sin. The chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Way back in Isaiah that was written before Christ was ever born. He knew standing there before Pilate that day that they were going to choose Barabbas. He knew what he was going to go through, and yet he chose it. I want to tell you something. He chose it for Barabbas' sake just as much as he did for yours and I's. That he done it so that Barabbas could be saved just as much as he did so that I could be saved, so that you could be saved. My question to you this morning is, have you ever accepted the blood of Jesus Christ in your life? Jennifer, if you will, play just a little bit. I know it hasn't been a very long sermon this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. It don't take long when the Holy Spirit of God is working. Because it's not about me. It's all about Him. We all, again, admitted that sin comes into our life. Man, sometimes in my life I look and go, man, I'm supposed to be a preacher. And I'm supposed to be a pastor. How in the world did that thought come through my mind? How in the world did that get into my life? Why in the world am I not giving God more than what I'm giving Him? Those things come into my mind, and I don't understand why God would use me. But I want to tell you something this morning. If you found yourself in that shape, there is help for you through Jesus Christ. There is help for me through Jesus Christ. We've all admitted that sin comes into our life, but what are we going to do about it? Because see, sometimes when sin comes into my life, I want to get like I'm doing something. And I'm going to get into, oh, it's okay. God knows I'm living in this world and He knows everything. Yeah, He does. But He still wants me in the right fellowship with Him. He still wants me to come and say, God, I'm sorry. Hey, my kids know when they do wrong. And I know when they do wrong. But man, what it does for our relationship when they come to me and say, Daddy, I done something wrong. And I need you to pray for me. Daddy, I done something wrong and I don't want that between you and I. That's what God wants from us. But most of all, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, look, you can try to quit anything you want to all on your own. And there have been people that have been successful at quitting this or quitting that. I quit cussing, I quit drinking, I quit whatever. There's been people that has been successful on your own. But I want to tell you something. If you want to make it and you want to make it right and you want to make it make a difference in your life, you let Jesus take that from you. You let Jesus get in there and work, and you give your life to Him, and you say, God, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to worship you. I'm not going to say that temptation's not going to come, but I'm going to say that when it does, that you'll have somebody there with you. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, Christians, I want to ask you first of all, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved, but my life is not where it needs to be. Man, I started out strong. Then temptation come, then burdens come, then trials come, whatever come my way. Man, I have veered off, and I'm not where I need to be with God. But I know the blood of Jesus Christ is real. I know that it can make a difference in my life. And preacher, I just want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that I'll get back in a relationship with God. I see your hand. You put it right back down. Hands all over the congregation this morning. Preacher, I started strong, but I'm not where I want to be right now. I've let sin in. I've let things happen in my life, and I'm not where I should be. Preacher, will you pray for me? Maybe you're here this morning. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you don't want to stand before God without it being there. I want to tell you that that blood that was shed is especially for you this morning. You have the power. Don't wash your hands of it. Pilate said, I don't want this blood on my hands. I want to tell you this morning, if you're here in that shape, you want the blood of Jesus Christ on you this morning. Would you just lift your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I've never been saved. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't speak of it to anyone. It'll be between you and I and God. Preacher, I don't want to die like I am right now. Will you just pray for me? Just slip up your hand. Anywhere in the whole church. Here in just a moment, the choir's going to sing about the blood, and you've got the power to get things right between you and God. I've got the power to get things right between you, between me and God. Don't leave here and say, I washed my hands of it. If you will, stand to your feet this morning, choir, if y'all will sing. You have an opportunity right now.
There is a blood that cost a life, that paid my way. Death is Christ. When
is
the love that from the
cross
my sins were gone?
Come right here and talk it over with God. You ain't got to tell
my
me anything. Man, I want to tell you, this blood is real.
There
this
is
blood is powerful. This blood will forgive you. This blood will cleanse you. This blood will put you in the right relationship with God. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't wash your hands. This is your day. This is your opportunity. You are here for a purpose. Don't leave here. Need something to be made right between you and God.
And rose to stand in my defense.
Tears that fall.
Today, hey, I think if you're standing here this morning and there's something that needs to be made right between you and God, you missed a great opportunity. Because, I mean, the Spirit of the Lord is moving and He's drawing. But I want to tell you something, that even though you may not found the strength or the courage to come to this altar, find somewhere by yourself after a while. And if you have already been saved, you can get anywhere at any time and talk to God. Now, the reason I said that like that is because the Bible teaches me that the only time that I can get saved is when the Spirit of God is calling me. So don't think that I can just go home after a while and get saved if I want to, because the Spirit of God has to be speaking your name. But if you're here and you're saved and you've got off on the wrong track and you're veering away from God, it ain't got to be right here at this altar. You find you somewhere quiet after a while and you get alone with God and you talk to God and get everything all right between you and God. Thank you for being here with us this morning. We don't take for granted that you were here. If you're here visiting with us, please come back. Hey, I'll try not to be too wild every Sunday, but I can't help it. I just love the Lord and love what He's doing for our church and what He's done in my life, and I can never repay Him for what He's done for me. Let's pray, church. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, I want to thank You for this opportunity that we've been in Your house this morning. God, I just want to praise You, God, that You loved us enough to allow Your Son to give His life's blood for us. God, I pray for the ones that were in the service this morning that raised their hands. God, that they needed help from You, that there was things in their life, God, that needed to be taken care of. God, I pray that You'll just continue to speak to their heart. God, I pray that You'll help them to get along with You somewhere after a while. And God, I pray that You'll help them to have a good conversation with You, knowing that they're not by themselves, God, that we all have to do it. God, I pray for our church. Thank You for what You're doing in our church. God, I pray most of all, again, if there was one here today that don't know You as their personal Savior, God, keep Your hand of safety on them. And God, I pray that You'll continue to give them an opportunity to accept You before it's everlasting too late. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.